Well, good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us on the Kent Biz Connect bi-weekly radio show with myself, Martin White.
And me, Brian Wakefield.
And our lovely guest in the studio this week.
It's Claire Noyel.
Hello,
how are you doing, Claire?
Hello, I'm really good, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Welcome to the studio. Now, I know you're an old hand at this because you've been on the radio before with Bird, I believe.
Yes, I was. That was my first time. I really enjoyed it.
Superb. Well, thank you for coming on the show today. And we're going to be learning all about hypnosis and actually the science behind it rather than the myth behind it, I think.
Lots of science behind it.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to that.
And some interesting links to businesses as well, which I'm looking forward to discovering.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Good. So, Brian, what are we? What's kind of on the agenda today? What are we going to be talking about?
Well, we're going to, as ever, we're going to be looking at a little bit of news. What's happening? News in Kent that's going to affect people and businesses. We always do try to avoid the motorway network and Brexit, but it really is getting increasingly difficult to do that. So I think you're really the Brexit expert, Whitey, so I'm going to ask you where we are with it, because I think I'm past caring and understanding. What about you, Claire? Are you really excited about all this Brexit stuff?
I can't wait to hear the next step.
Indeed, if indeed there is one.
Well, I think there's some kind of worrying things going on out there at the moment, apart from the whole kind of Brexit debate and discussion. I mean, I was with the gorgeous Lynette Wood at the Ashford International Hotel earlier on today, and she was talking about the fact that she had been planning to go to Holland in October for a family holiday, but she didn't want to book it at the moment because she wasn't quite sure what was going to be going on in October now, bearing in mind the fact that we've just kind of delayed Brexit again
until October.
Until then.
Okay, so she might get there and then not get back or something. Or,
well,
is
exactly.
Is that how it works?
So,
we don't know, do we?
We just don't know. Mm. But that's a really practical example of how we're just all kind
that's
of in limbo.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? The holiday euro and needing, medical attention or can you drive over there? And
well, if you go to Holland, invariably you're probably going to be taking the car. You might get out there, but actually what's it going to be like coming home? And, you know, we've got to go to work on Monday, for example. You know, how does that work? So that I thought was really, really interesting. She was also talking about the fact that at the hotel, they'd had an awful lot of bookings for March, because I think the original exit date was the
29th of March, I think, yeah.
They had a lot of bookings from, you know, the police, for example, Highways England, all sorts of people who were going to be involved with Operation Brock, as it was going to be, you know, in terms of traffic management and all those kinds of issues. And, of course, all those bookings were cancelled because, you know, it didn't happen. So, you know, if you're a business in the hospitality sector trying to kind of manage your kind of your demand and your capacity and everything else at the moment, and you get these kind of these massive group bookings and then it cancels, all of a sudden you've got a big hole in your sales forecast. So that's kind of going on.
It's a nightmare, isn't it?
I think that's both sides, though, isn't it? It's going to be, you know, Europeans travelling over to us too.
Exactly. And then to top it all off, I was at a breakfast meeting with my local MP this morning.
Oh, I bet that was exciting.
And obviously you don't see them very often, so it's when they are around, it's good to kind of
you're going to name
shoulders
him, or is he going to be incognito?
I'll keep him incognito.
Oh, okay.
But the interesting thing about that was, you know, how he was publicly, you know, talking down the Prime Minister.
Berating her.
Yeah, and quite openly criticising, you know, the job that she's done, is doing, and, you know, can't wait to get rid of her, basically.
Oh.
And you think, well, you know, so
it's not very musketeer, is it? It's not very all for one, one for all.
So, you know, is it any wonder that we're kind of in this kind of state of limbo that we're currently in, when you have a you know, the leader of the country, the leader of a political party who clearly has lost the confidence of her own people, let alone, you know, the kind of the wider public. So I really can't see how we're going to find a way through this by the end of October and have a solution that you know, that kind of fits the bill and people can kind of get on with and move on with.
So we've managed to secure a short extension of 3 months or whatever
exactly.
it is. So why have they done that? What's going to change in that 3 months?
Well, it's a little bit longer than 3 months, but I don't know, Brian. You tell me. I mean, this, you know, obviously there's, you know, the hope is that there will be a kind of a cross-party solution that everybody can live with. But when you have these quite polarised factions within one political party, let alone across the, you know, across the Commons, I don't really see how that's kind of practical or viable.
So I think it's delaying for delaying's sake,
exactly.
isn't it, really?
And I think that's what the Europeans were worried about when they gave us such a short extension, because I think they were looking at sort of 12 months plus.
Mm.
You know, they didn't want to be in the same situation come the end of October. So
well, it's a real shame, isn't it? Because just the uncertainty, really. Nothing's happened, nothing is happening, and I'm really not sure what is going to happen. But all of that together just seems to be, it's not good for business,
well,
is it?
Well, it's affecting business. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, Lynette won't book a holiday now, you know, in Holland in October because she's not quite sure whether she can get back or get out.
Yeah.
Or,
and how easy the whole process is going to be.
So, you know, there will be more and more people putting off those kinds of decisions. I mean, buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, you know, do I really want to go out and buy a new German car at the moment or don't I? I mean, you know.
Or should we do it now? Because is it going to be
20%? Might be more expensive.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is a mess. But you can rest assured that Kent Biz Connect will keep the Kent business community
We'll fight
updated.
On through it, won't we?
As we see it.
We'll be here after Brexit or not. I don't know. If Brexit happens or it doesn't, we'll still be here.
So moving on from that, we ought to tell everybody a little bit more about the show format and how that's changing in 2 weeks' time, because we've got some interesting news there as well, haven't we? So what's going on?
Well, yeah, this is the last one of our solo guest situation. So the wheels are turning fast, momentum is gathering, and a lot more people know of the show and are tuning in and are talking about it and stuff like that. So we need to ramp up with it, really. So they are, Claire, and they will be, and of course they're predominantly it's kind of strong links to BBN members and to Supply My Business members, both of which are increasing fairly dramatically at the moment. So we need to kind of really keep up the demand of that. You're absolutely right. So as of the...
And we don't want you to be lonely in the studio.
No.
Yes.
You need a guest buddy, I think.
Yes,
being a thorn in between two roses, Claire, as you are at the moment. Yeah, or is it the other way around? Yeah. So as of the next show on the 29th, we'll be up in our game even further. So to term the football analogy, we'll be going the full 90 minutes.
We will. So
an hour and a half from an hour, we're gonna double our guest quota. Mm-hmm. We'll be having two guests on and sort of opening up the doors to more stuff. So
we might even have a new jingle for the listener as well, I think, by then.
Fingers crossed.
Touch wood.
Yeah, I think it's being worked on, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what these music lovers are like. They're all a little bit precious.
So to coin a phrase, we're going semi-pro, Brian.
Oh, there you go.
Your football
there
analogy.
You go. That's it. Yeah, there'll be no extra time, no stoppage time, no injuries, I
Good.
Hope.
So we look forward to that in a couple of weeks' time. But in the meantime, we have only got an hour. It's nearly 3:15.
Good Lord.
We need to get cracking with some events and news and promos and things that are out in the marketplace. So
what are we doing over the next 2 weeks then?
Well, as always, there's an awful lot going on in the Kent business community. I'll talk a little bit about an event that I'm involved with on Wednesday, and you can talk about an event that you're going to.
That I'm involved with on Wednesday, two different events.
So let's do that. Let's crack on with that. So FSB, Ashford International Supply My Business, and also the Kent MS Therapy Centre over in Canterbury. There's four of us that kind of collaborate on a monthly basis, and we run our own after six networking. And we do that at the Ashford International Hotel. And I think we had about 50-odd people booked on last time. I'm expecting a similar number this time. So if you are in and around the Ashford area, on Wednesday evening from 6 o'clock. Do come along to the Ashford International Hotel. We've actually got a guest speaker this week as well, or this month, which is Ashford Borough Council. So they're going to be telling us all about the exciting economic development things that are going on.
And talking about the M20 and how they're going to get that flowing again, perhaps?
Quite probably. But also, you know, the MacArthur Glen expansion, the outlet centre, all that kind of stuff. So do join us. There is an Eventbrite booking link. You will also find all the details on the community page on Supply My Business, but we'd love to see you.
Okay. And I unfortunately can't attend that, Martin, as you know, because I won't be in the Ashford area, and it is all about areas, but I will be up in Lordswood. What are you doing there, I hear you about to ask? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing there, Martin. I'm going to be at the Kent Space networking event, because the lovely Sue McGowan and her wonderful team have an outlet up there as well on Lordswood, and they're doing an after-hours setup, which is 5:30 until 8 o'clock at Kent Space, which is in Revenge Road on the industrial estate.
Is it Medway City Industrial Estate?
It's not. It's a few miles from there.
Okay.
But this is much easier to get to.
Right, Lordswood.
Yeah, Lordswood. Right. Yeah, it's basically top of Bluebell Hill and chuck a right, and it's a few minutes.
Oh, good.
Really. Okay. So it's a kind of 10-minute roll down the hill home afterwards.
So that's where you're going to be then?
That's where I'm going to be, and it's handy that it's local, because we have BBN Dartford on Thursday morning.
So you're staying the night at Kent Space?
Well, I feel like it. If it wasn't so close to home, yeah, I might get Sue to sort me out a storage container, and I'll sleep there the night. But
this is BBN Dartford this Thursday. 7 o'clock, Dartford Football Club.
Exactly.
Any spaces? Can you squeeze anybody in?
I probably could do two people.
Right.
Because it's Easter, isn't it, coming up on Friday at the end of this week and next week. And it seems to have come as a surprise to a few people. So we've had a couple of cancellations. So we've only got 52 people attending, but we could probably squeeze 54.
Good.
So I possibly could. If people ring me and talk to me nicely, okay, I could get a couple more in for that.
So at Brian's BN or the Twitter or email?
Yeah, they can email Brian at bbnetworking.co.uk.
Right.
Or they could do the old fashioned thing and talk to me.
Just give you a tinkle.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That.
Good. All right, brilliant. So lots going on this week. In fact, Kent Space are also our hosts for our radio station here at Ashford. And a week on Wednesday, so that's not this Wednesday, it's the Wednesday after Easter, they've got their monthly networking here at Ashford as well. So if you're around a week on Wednesday, again in the Ashford area, do get yourselves along to Kent Space Ashford. Sue and Vicky would love to see you, I'm sure.
Okay. What about you, Claire? Have you got any kind of notable events coming up over the next couple of weeks? Or are you taking it easy with Easter?
I've got BBN to look forward to on Friday.
Friday week,
yeah,
yes.
Friday week.
Back to Maidstone, you're absolutely right.
Do you do any other sort of networking just out of interest? Are you a big networker or not?
No, I'm quite new to the whole networking thing. So
don't need to, do you, Claire, because you're involved with BBN Maidstone.
Well, that's it. That's all I need to do now. No, I've been using the Ladies Who Latte for a little while, which is nice friendly groups. Mm-hmm. The lovely Amanda O'Reilly runs one in Westmorling, mm-hmm, and Tanya Goff runs the Swale one. Both of those are really nice collaborative groups, so it's nice to go there. Mm-hmm. But BBN is bigger. And there's a bit more mix of business.
Yeah, good.
So,
good.
Yeah, that's good.
Excellent. Well, there's plenty of other things happening, Brian. You're going to need to shimmy across because you haven't
slide across the studio floor.
Haven't done that yet. But what I will mention is a Marsh networking breakfast. So this is our good friend Terry Botfield, who runs a networking group down on Romney Marsh. It's called Marsh Networking. They do have their own website and event booking page. But they are hosting a networking breakfast on Thursday, the 25th of April. So that's a week on Thursday, and it's at 7:30 to 9:15, and that's at the Ship in Dimchurch. So so if you're around on Romney Marsh or perhaps East Sussex, kind of more based, it's a great networking group that's well established now. So you might want to get yourselves along to that. Again, all of the details for all of these events and networking, etc., are all on the community page of Supply My Business. Brian.
Okay. Well. For maybe the more... Where's the Marlowe Theatre? Canterbury, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Ah, well, there's one there that I've spotted. So you would be familiar with Barrett's Bar, would you, Martin, in there?
Well, it's just newly been revamped, the Barrett's Bar. So Barrett's are obviously a large Jaguar Land Rover dealership in Canterbury.
Ah.
And they are one of the Marlowe Business Club sponsors, and I believe have sponsored one of their newly refurbished bars as well. So
ah, well, there's the link. Well, they're going to be wheeling that out and open it up to the public, because they're going to have a little bit further, well, 3 weeks away, Wednesday the 8th of May,
yes,
from 5 until 7. So nibbles and networking, mm-hmm. What more could you want?
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you are. Yeah, you'll get there early, so no nibbles left for everyone else.
Well, I certainly won't be leaving early.
No.
But they're tagging on a comedy night as well onto that, so you can do your networking, and then you can actually stay on at the theatre for another, I think it's another £10. I think the whole thing, you can probably get the whole thing for £20. And you can actually see some top class comedy acts on the night as well. So, yeah, and you'll obviously be suitably lubricated at that point, and no doubt up for a good laugh. So, yeah, do get yourselves along to that. It should be a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's Wednesday, the 8th of May. And actually, before that, our good friends at the Ashford International Hotel also do a monthly comedy night as well. It's on Friday, the 26th of April, the next one. And they're doing a special two-course meal offer with tickets to the comedy night for £26 if you mention Supply My Business. So, yeah, do give that some thought as well. It's a great sort of team-building night out, actually, with a difference. You know, take the team out and have a good giggle on a Friday night. £26 per person, including two-course meal. So you can't go wrong. And that is actually an official comedy club venue as well, and night, so you can guarantee there'll be top class comedians at that one.
Okay. FSB Connect at Tunbridge have got a business breakfast on the 18th of April, so again, that's this Thursday, isn't it?
Yes,
so
it is. Mm-hmm.
That's from the 8 o'clock until 9:30 at the Judeans Rugby Club. So I always think of the Judean Republic from Monty Python.
Oh,
so,
yes. Yeah.
But it's not those, is it? It's something different.
No.
So,
good.
What have they ever done for us? So, what
that's
they have
always
done
a
for
very
us.
Popular one as well, that, because I think, you know, Kent is such a big county, isn't it? If you're sort of over in West Kent kind of area, you know, and Tunbridge is again one of those places that, unless you're, I mean, you talked about, you know, being local and local networking and the kind of the benefit of that. Tunbridge is a great example of that, you know.
Yeah, I have to admit, I tend to try and avoid successfully kind of Tunbridge and Tunbridge Wells, really, because it's just a complete pain to try and get there and get parked and get back again. And it's virtually a whole day. It's just a nightmare.
So that one's for our West Kent friends.
Yeah, that's for Tunbridge-ish type people.
And it's at the Judeans Rugby Football Club, so that'll be a good night.
Just a quick shout out, actually, for another one of our BBM Maidstone members, Gemma Fairclough Haynes. She's running one of her, or sponsoring one of the waffles and networking, which is at the George Hotel. And again, that's on that same day, which is the 18th, but it's kind of 4 till 6. Unfortunately, I can't be there because I'll be just about in the 19th after the BBN golf day on Thursday.
Oh, of course.
Yep. The 12 of us are going after Dartford. So,
now, you mentioned Kent Space in Chatham. On the 30th of April, they are running a free employment law and health and safety advice seminar. So, again, that's at the Lordswood Chatham Kent Space site. It starts at 9:30 and will finish around about 12:45. There's food and refreshments provided. It is a free-to-attend event. There is a special promotion code, and all the booking details that you'll need are all on the community page of Supply My Business. So if you're a business that's a little bit unsure about employment law, and you'd like some advice on what's going on there at the moment, and I think all the national living wage and minimum wage and all those things have all kind of increased again recently. I think pension contributions have all gone up as well recently. So it might be a good event to attend and get yourself clued up. Brian, you've moved seats.
Yeah, I have. There's quite a few on there, and I'm just very conscious that we've probably got 4 minutes left of this particular half. So if you want to pick out one or two real gems of those, then feel free.
Well, I will do then in that case. A very good friend of ours, Brian, you and me, Nico Office.
Ah, lovely Sarah.
Sarah Horry and Mark Horry, based up in Ash. Are doing a fantastic offer at the moment on office machine, inks, spare parts, all of that kind of stuff. They're doing a free delivery on that at the moment. Now, free delivery is great, but I think the advantage of talking to them full stop is the fact that they are incredibly competitive on price, because they buy extremely competitively and they pass those savings on, to the point where I recently introduced them to Staples, because I thought Staples might have more buying power and be able to get them an even better deal on the kind of consumables that they're buying day to day. And actually, they're able to buy it better than Staples
really
could supply it to them at. As a direct kind of
they're
thing
a great
the
business actually, Sarah
so they are
Mark.
A great business. Yeah. Yeah. So if you've got any kind of office machines and you're thinking, you know, actually we don't get a particularly good service on our kind of consumables or our maintenance or service or actually on the lease of the machine itself, do talk to Nico Office. They are superb people. They're lovely people to deal with as well. They're up in Ash, and again, you'll find all of their contact details on the Supply My Business website.
Hmm.
You're eating. You can't do that halfway through a radio show. Stick a crisp in your mouth or whatever you've done.
I'm just having a cheeky little nibble on a very small mini cheddar.
Right, okay. Well, what we'll do then, I think, is we're going to play some... We'll play a little introductory...
Oh, I like this bit. Guess tune. The link.
Guess the link for Claire.
To Claire and what she's going to do.
Now, we do have a slightly younger audience, so I'm not sure anybody outside of this room... will have heard of this particular
you
song
might need
before.
To dash off and ask your parents if they know this one.
But we're going to play it anyway, so let's see how we get on
it's
with
groovy.
This.
It's groovy.
Groovy, okay, here we go. So, for those of you out there of a of a certain vintage.
Do you know what that was, Martin? That song?
I have no idea. You're going to enlighten me, though.
I'll tell you what, that was Hypnosis by a great group, Mud. So you might remember Tiger Feet and Rocket and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
So that was by Mud, Les Gray and all, and that's from about 1972. Oh, how about
brilliant.
That?
There's a blast from the past. And Claire and I were just remarking that we'd really only just been born, so...
Yeah, Claire had no idea.
But you, I guess you were...
a year old.
Yeah.
You were stepping out in your flares, Brian, weren't you?
I'll tell you what, I was just coming into my formulative teenage years, so I was like 13, so I knew everything then, of course. So
superb.
I was a trendsetter or a red setter.
Good stuff. Other. Right, we're gonna talk to Claire very, very shortly, but just a quick couple of tweets. We've Robert Woodward is listening in, sales manager at Heliocentrics, translating IT into a language you can understand. So, Robert, thank you very much for tuning in. And also Joe Humphrey is one of our regular listeners. And Joe has tweeted in as well. So thank you, Joe.
Hello,
and,
Joe. Yeah, last from the past.
We look forward to seeing you soon. But without further ado... What we're going to do now is talk to Claire.
It's put all eyes on the lovely Claire.
Exciting.
Under the spotlight.
I am.
Claire, welcome to Kent Biz Connect.
Thank you.
Just tell us very, very quickly what it is that you actually do and what Inspired to Change is actually really, really all about.
Okay. So I'm a solution-focused clinical hypnotherapist, which is quite a long title, but it's pretty descriptive. It takes the best bits of solution-focused brief therapy, which is a big modality in the US. They use it a lot over there for dealing with addictions and all sorts of problems, and combined with the power of hypnotherapy.
Right. Now, we were talking sort of off-air before the show started about your career, and you still have this career because you still work as a pharmacist.
Yes.
And how clearly, you know, as someone that understands the science behind how drugs work, you wanted to kind of marry that with a more kind of solution, individual solution focused.
Exactly that. So a lot of people think it's a strange combination, but as you said, because of a lot of what we do in solution focused hypnotherapy is to talk about the neuroscience, to talk about what's actually happening in your brain when you're doing that, how your brain is functioning and how you can fine tune it to work better. It actually marries up really nicely. The effects of a lot of the drugs that I've used to work with and still do in pharmacy are explained by a lot of that neuroscience.
So, because I think that's one of the myths around hypnotherapy, isn't it? That, you know, possibly amongst some people who are less informed, that actually it's all just mumbo jumbo, it's all kind of nonsense, none of it really works. But
No. The
point is, it is grounded in science.
Absolutely. There's a big research project among the solution focused hypnotherapy partnerships, with a lot of our data being collected with the aim of presenting it to the NHS and other bodies who accredit stuff like that, because it's hugely effective, works way quicker than other things like NLP or CBT that the NHS is currently behind.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to see it more mainstream. So it's very credible.
So from your point of view, what are some of the barriers that people have when it comes to talking to somebody like you? Let's dispel some of the myths that, you know, you're going to delve deep into their brain and pull out all these kind of secrets that have been locked away in the kind of the darkest recesses for years.
Well, actually, yeah, before Claire gives us a sensible, proper answer, because I might be typical that I've not been successfully hypnotized. And people have their thoughts as to why that is, and I do actually agree with them. But most people's experience of hypnosis or hypnotherapy is in the kind of the show situation. So if you're sitting in an audience, there's 12 people on the stage, one of you is running around clucking like a chicken, another one's supposed to be horse riding.
Absolutely, that's, you know, most people's
and all, it is, isn't it?
Yes.
And so a lot of people think, well, I don't really want to do that because I don't know what you're going to make me do.
No.
So it's okay, I'm out of control, or I haven't got control of this situation, and it might be embarrassing and stuff like that, but you're hopefully going to tell us there's more
exactly
to it than that.
Is that all nonsense? I mean, when people are doing that, are they genuinely under hypnosis?
But what you need to bear in mind is that they volunteered for that.
Right.
They're obviously really keen to get up on stage and make a fool of themselves. They're quite motivated. They genuinely want to do it.
Yeah.
So as Brian was saying, you cannot be hypnotised if you don't want to be. So those people are very much up for it. They probably strip naked and run down the street for a tenner when they were not in trance, so they're probably not the best example of using hypnosis responsibly.
I agree.
That's nothing like what I do in my clinic. It's a question I get
asked. That's very comforting, Claire.
I'm glad. Yeah. No clucking like chickens, no stripping naked, no eating an onion like it's an apple, none of those weird things.
The starting point then is somebody coming to you and saying, Claire, you know, I've got this issue, whatever that is, that I'd like your help with. And that might be anything from losing weight to confidence to anything, really.
There's lots of stuff that we deal with very well. Commonly, people associate hypnotherapy with stopping smoking and weight loss. Those are two of the less common ones that I see, to be honest. Most of the ones I see are people who have issues with stress and anxiety. Often, I've got a fair few teenagers that I'm working with, and that's a big deal for them because I don't know how much you've looked into the background, but NHS and CAMHS, the Child and Adult Mental Health Service, doesn't deal very quickly with those kind of situations. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm immediate to access. You can come in and see me and start work straight away. There's no waiting list. So lots of it is stress and anxiety, but also phobias. But it's not just, as we were saying offline, it's not just for those that are broken. You can use it to get better at stuff you're already good at. So there's a big interest in using it in sports, in psychology. So working with sports people is a big thing for lots of hypnotherapists.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
And business focus, as we've said, either dealing with stress and anxiety in your workforce to keep them functioning, keep them with you, or, as we've also commented, on presentations and presenting stuff like that, being confident in what you're doing, being more focused in what you're doing.
So at the root of all this, presumably, is the fact that we are all creatures of habit.
Absolutely.
And therefore, you know, we think in a certain way, we behave in a certain way, and your job is to actually reprogram us slightly to think in a slightly
like
different way.
We tend to think that as we're older, the phrase you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, you can. Maybe not old dogs, but certainly people, once their brain is formed, you can absolutely rewire that, build in some better habits for them, and delete out the old patterns of behaviour. We do so much on autopilot. We have to, because if you had to consciously compute everything that you do, your head would explode. So we have these inbuilt patterns that we repeat. Some of those are really constructive, like being able to tie your shoelaces without looking. We can all do that. Or writing and subconscious routines like that. But the stuff that isn't so helpful, like smoking, like snacking, like using alcohol to deal with the stress and anxiety, are all patterns of behaviour that we can do without.
Right. So, for example, somebody that wants to lose weight, you can instill another behaviour in them that actually is more conducive to them losing weight rather than opening a packet of biscuits and sitting on the sofa and watching TV.
Absolutely. But the really nice thing about what I do and the way I work is that all those suggestions come from the client. It's not a matter of me saying you will not eat biscuits. Why would you want to do that? Biscuits and cake are one of life's pleasures. I don't intend to hypnotise anybody out of liking cake. That would be cruel. But developing patterns of behaviour...
that would be sadistic, wouldn't it? I mean, imagine if somebody said to you, Brian, you can't ever have a pint of beer again.
I've had people do that. I've had a friend who had hypnosis.
I like the way he picks on me for that particular question. I like a gin and tonic, darling.
I had hypnosis to make her think that cake tasted like liver. I mean, how cruel is that?
I was going to ask that because I've heard of things where instances where people do that and they eat something and it makes them feel physically sick and then they throw up and stuff.
Short term, but that doesn't teach anything. It's a bit,
doesn't sound very pleasant, does it?
No, it's not. So what I would rather do is let my clients come up with an idea of, okay, well, instead of coming home from work and hitting the biscuits, I'm going to come home from work and take the dog out.
Right. Or go for a bike ride or something. Because the nights are drawing out and it's nice and warm.
Yeah, so you're building a new pattern. So one that your brain's got a choice of when it comes in. It can go down the eat the biscuits pattern, or it can go down the walk the dog, go for a bike ride pattern. So it's not instilling things into people. It's not mind control.
Right.
It's working with my clients to develop new patterns of behaviour, to rewire their brain just a little bit differently.
Right. So in a business context then, what might be a familiar problem that a business owner might have that they would appreciate your help with?
Confidence, motivation are two big ones that I've worked with. So people that might be confident where they are but want to expand or want to get better at a skill, maybe presenting so that they can actually go networking, stand up and sound confident about their business. Because that's a big thing. You have to sound like you know what you're talking about if you want to make new connections and get more business.
Your friend Ali Hollands gave me some good advice on that level recently. She's, you know, I said to her, how do you deal with people that, you know, at a networking meeting, for example, struggle to stand up and do a 60 seconds because they haven't got the confidence, you know, all the
a lot of people do say that.
Yeah, nerves get the better of them. She said, well, try and focus on the, you know, the end result, on how you want to feel having delivered
exactly
a really good 60 seconds rather than the nerves and the negativity of actually having to stand up and do it. Think about the result that you want at the end of it and how that's going to make you feel. And I thought that was really good.
That,
advice.
In a nutshell, is totally the concept of what we do. Mm. Think about what you want to achieve. So think of your vision, whether it's having more business,
the
whether it's being more confident, whether it's sleeping better, and then break that down into new patterns that you have to develop. And it's all about thinking positively, using those positive experiences.
Mm.
Well, that has helped to sort of demystify it massively to me, because I have to say I was one of these people that sat in the slightly kind of you know, the non-believer camp in terms of what it's all about.
Oh,
so that's,
science doesn't care if you're a believer or not, it's just facts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well said, Claire. Yeah. that's a good point. So what kind of examples then in a business environment sort of generally is common for you to deal with? So people come to you, business people, for example, that come to you, what kind of issues?
It might just be generalized stress. Mm. There's a lot of stress around running a business or being part of a larger corporation and having deadlines and targets. So sometimes coming to see me about that, and that may not be what they actually turn up with.
And managing the stress,
yes,
really.
Managing that stress.
Okay.
And that may be changing their mindset, their approach to something. So there's a lovely phrase that our brains are Teflon for positive experiences and Velcro for negative stuff. Mm. So we are very good at focusing on the negative.
We carry around lots of baggage,
don't we,
that is unwanted.
So in solution-focused hypnotherapy, we talk about filling up your stress bucket. So the more that goes in your stress bucket, the poorer your ability to concentrate on what you're doing actually is. So by lowering your levels of stress and anxiety, lowering the amount of stress and pressure you're under allows you to make a really good assessment of what you need to do, how you need to do it, and what you want to get there. And I can help crystallize that effectively by letting them break those down into smaller chunks.
That's a really good example. So how would you encourage someone to just let go of stuff that isn't important? Because, you know, we all kind of dwell on things, you know. Let's say somebody's behaved badly towards us, or, you know, one of our customers hasn't paid their bill, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, we tend to kind of, I certainly
it's
do.
It's one negative, but
yeah,
it can bring
you down.
Yeah,
I carry it around with me for far too long.
Absolutely.
And how can
everyone
you encourage
does.
People to just kind of let go of it because it doesn't matter, for example?
That's quite a tricky one, and it's something that involves a complete mind shift. So what we do with our clients is encourage them to focus on the positive. That's not a Pollyanna thing about, oh, everything is pink and sparkly, but it's really focusing on what have I achieved? What made me feel good about today? And once you've trained your brain to look for those positives, to feel better about what you are doing, it's actually better able because you're using the intellectual part of your brain.
Right.
You know, that nature has spent a long time honing. We're good at this stuff if we use it.
So you've had something bad happen to you today, but actually don't dwell on that. Think about all the positive things
Absolutely.
That have happened to you today.
Perfect.
That's much more
Because one tiny
motivational.
Thing can derail your entire day.
Mm.
So focus on the positive stuff and think, actually, I've achieved a lot today. Yes, the printer paper ran out and I didn't get all my leaflets done, but I managed to achieve this.
Yeah.
So much stuff. So focusing on the positives is a big, big part of what we do.
So how does, I mean, that to me, I mean, you know, I could have a conversation with you and that would help me massively. Where does the actual hypnosis come into that process? Because, you know, just talking to you in the studio here, I find that quite motivating and quite enlightening.
Yes. So that's, a session is normally in two parts. That first part of my session will be
retuning your brain, Whitey.
Yes, plasticity, we call it. So, yes, the first part of a session will always be like that, talking positively, focusing on your strengths, allowing my clients to come up with a solution to their problems. So while their brain is busily, because your brain is really, really good at doing different things at different levels. So part of your brain will be focusing on the solution to what you need to do. And then adding hypnosis, which changes your brain waves to a state similar to something called REM, rapid eye movement sleep.
Right.
So when your brain is doing that, it's super creative. So it just allows you, A, to relax and get some downtime, to empty that little stress bucket we've got carrying around with us, but also to use the same brain waves that we have in this REM sleep state to improve creativity, to improve our ability to find suggestions to all those problems, to find solutions.
Right. And is and then do you teach people an exercise to put themselves into that state?
Yes. Well, you can do it yourself, but mm-hmm. it's usually quite tricky to do for people that aren't used to it. So we have a relaxation audio, all mm-hmm. of us. Ali has one, I have mm-hmm. one. It's something all solution-focused hypnotherapists will do right. that we give to our clients so they can learn to do that themselves.
Mm-hmm. And would you encourage people to do that every day at kind of the end of the day, for example, just before they go to bed?
Just as you're going to sleep is the best time to do it, because it stops that whole going mm-hmm. around in circles. What have I done? What have I forgotten? Oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I had a row with them. Oh, I need to get that sorted. Mm-hmm. It gives your brain something else to focus on. Yeah. So as you start that gradual wind down and turning off of your brain's consciousness to sleep, that you're giving it something nice and focused to structure it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I often find that I'm most creative sort of very early in the morning.
Yes, you are. Do you want to know why?
Yes, please. Oh. Yeah.
That's because we go through a cycle of different sleep modes. If you have a Fitbit or one of these smart watches, it will tell you that. We have light sleep, deeper sleep, then we have REM sleep and non-REM sleep. So you go through a cycle of those throughout the night, with very deep sleep being a time when our brain is kind of cleaned, hoovered out effectively and sorted. Light sleep, we wake up, we just check everything's okay, we go back to sleep. But as you get closer to the morning, the REM portion of that sleep cycle, the rapid eye movement portion of that, kicks in more. So your last section of sleep before you wake up is a heavy dose of REM sleep.
So that's your best quality sleep, is it?
So this business thing of getting up at 4 a.m. and being bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, please don't do it. You're missing out on all your REM sleep. You need that creativity. You need that ability to connect all the stuff that we've learned.
And that presumably only comes our sort of 7 to 8 of your night's sleep, does it?
I mean, yeah, it's sprinkled across the night, but the majority is towards the end of the morning.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I thought it was the kind of middle 4 hour chunk, really. Or is that just the deepest and heaviest?
Your brain
or?
Goes through cycles. I'm waving my hands, but no one can see me. It goes through, you go through cycles of sleep. So you have a little sprinkling of it across, but it concentrates in the morning. So that's why we remember our dreams right before you wake up. That's REM sleep.
Yeah.
Stirring up your memories, picking out bits it might find useful.
So all these kind of super kind of aspirational people that we all want to be, like your Tim Cooks of the world and people like that, who get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, actually, people, that's totally the wrong thing to do.
Unless, of course, you have to go to bed about 6:30, 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
And you need that full 7-8 hours. Very few people can survive on this.
Yeah, so that is true as well. We really ought to have between 7 and 8 hours per night.
For lots of different reasons. When you're younger, your body is growing and repairing itself. As you get older, your brain is particularly focusing on cleaning and tidying itself up. So many issues are linked to not sleeping. So tying that back into sort of health and well-being at work or anywhere else. If you don't get enough sleep, if we're doing shift work, if we're doing early mornings or late nights to try and get stuff done, you're compromising on your sleep, and that's not good for you. Not mentally, not physically, not long-term in terms of other stuff, too.
So you can actually help businesses out there to become more creative.
By getting some sleep. And if that's a big, big thing that hypnotherapy can deal with really well, people are plagued with insomnia. Like 20% of people will suffer from insomnia.
Yes.
You don't have to. You can come and see people like me.
Already. But also training people to use that REM time at the end of a cycle.
As creative as possible.
Yeah. So, because a lot of business owners talk about the fact that they struggle to think about their business outside of kind of working in their business, because they just don't have the time because they're too busy. But actually, if you can train someone to think creatively about their business 1 hour a day.
Your brain thinks about it creatively all the time if you let it. So giving your brain a chance to access that REM state, whether it's in hypnosis or whether it's naturally in the form of proper sleep, you are enhancing totally your creativity and your ability to think outside the box, to use that phrase.
So instead of lying there awake thinking, you know, or in a semi-conscious state thinking, oh, I need to get back to sleep, I've still got an hour's, you know, in bed, actually, you know, turn that on its head and think, well, actually, now's the time to start thinking, you know, creatively, because this is where I'm at my best. You know, this is my peak.
Your brain has this lovely thing called a default network, which is almost like a grab bag of stuff that you're telling it you want to do. And when it's bored, when it's in REM sleep, or when it's doing something else completely banal, like driving or walking sometimes, it's looking for solutions to stuff.
That is so weird as well, because I go swimming once a week. Yes. So I'm in the pool for half an hour. Yeah, I swim a mile once a week on a Wednesday morning.
Perfect brain time.
And what I find is with swimming, you get into and I'm sure it's the same in running, and so you get into a rhythm. And actually, the body swims, but my brain is doing something completely different. Physically, I'm swimming, but my brain is elsewhere. I'm thinking about my business, and I'm thinking creatively about...
And that's pretty much being in trance, because you are so focused on doing something else that your body is programmed to do. You're using that autopilot, but your brain is then free to focus on something completely different. Mm-hmm. So swimming, running, driving, really banal stuff, washing up, walking the dog, they're the times that your brain doesn't have anything complicated to do and can really access that creative state of REM. So, yeah. You're doing it all naturally.
Yeah.
Well done.
So yeah, because it happens in driving, doesn't it? If you drive the same route every day or something like that, you can't remember. Yes. You're just on autopilot, aren't you?
Yeah, but so
you
can't remember doing it. The important thing is to remember that. Yes, your brain's on autopilot, but should the car in front of you break, you pop out of that almost instantly.
Hopefully.
Back into the real world. And it's the same in my clinic. So people worry that they're under my control. You're so not. You're there. You're just relaxed and focused in a very similar way.
And if you don't want to tell me something, you're not going to tell me. It's as simple as that. I mean, it doesn't work like that.
I don't ask my clients to tell me. I don't need to know. That's in their stress bucket. That's for them to deal with. And the more you talk about it, the more you bring it to the surface. So we'll just leave you to focus on that on your own time, and we'll talk positive.
So people haven't got to lay their whole life in front of you, walks and all, and... everything.
No, so, it's very positive. So we focus so much on the positive and your strengths, your abilities, your capacities.
Now, you're someone that's worked in the NHS as a pharmacist for, what, 20?
27 years.
27 years.
Claire, you don't look that old.
I know, it's scary.
So where does this, because for me, I can really see the value in this as a form of treatment, you know, on all sorts of different levels. Where does it sit in terms of the NHS and their thinking as a prescribed treatment, for example, in the same way that the doctor might write you a slip for some antibiotics? I mean, where does it sit?
I so wish they would. I've got a colleague who is just starting to work in a doctor's surgery now. She's not working with them, but she's on the premises. So that, for me, is a kind of tacit acceptance that it's becoming a bit more mainstream. But I would really love to see it in place of things like CBT or alongside that for some people, to really improve people's mental health that way, because it works so much quicker. People are very quick to ask for antidepressants. They take weeks to kick in. By the time they're starting to work, you can do 3 or 4 sessions with a solution-focused hypnotherapist and feel so much better. And you've done that yourself. So I'd love the NHS to do that.
Well, they're just masking the problem, aren't they?
They are.
Really?
They're not
curing it.
You to deal with it. They're very useful in some circumstances, but it's much better to be under your own control and be resilient to that, to try and come up with it yourself.
So is there some lobbying going on to kind of...
There's a quiet kind of lobbying. The Association for Solution-Focused Hypnotherapy has got its own little thing that they're trying to present to the NHS to give us some more evidence. There's a couple of hospitals that are using it. One is for things like IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. There's one for that. There's another one that's using it post-operatively and pre-operatively to reduce pain and anxiety.
Yes, I read about that recently.
Oh, turnover is so much quicker. Mm. You're only in hospital for a fraction of the time you would be, because people are more positive. They heal quicker.
Because again, I mean, I always used to be very sceptical about, you know, because I guess... this probably started in the US, did it, on a kind of on a big scale?
Solution because focus did, but the blending of it with hypnotherapy is peculiar to the UK. It started in Bristol.
Because, you know, people joke about, you know, Americans, they've all got a psychiatrist or you know, whatever. Everybody goes to their psychiatrist once a week. But actually, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you can talk to somebody about this kind of stuff rather than keeping it kind of locked away inside...
That would be lovely to see, to have parity with physical health, so that you don't blink an eye. When someone says, oh, I just need to go to the doctor's because I need some antibiotics for my chest infection or I pulled a muscle. But people don't want to admit they're seeing a therapist because there's still some stigma. There's still, you know, despite all the amazing work that's been done by so many different mental health charities, there's still a stigma about looking after your mental health and admitting that that isn't quite up to scratch.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see that change.
Yes. Well, so would we, I think. Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's, you know, there's benefits to doing that. If you can keep healthy, you can keep happy, you can keep focused. You don't have a time off work. People are paying their staff not to be at work.
Well, that's another good point. So do you work with businesses on a kind of occupational health kind of level where you go in and you can create a program for businesses, for example?
I would love to do that. I don't do that at the moment. There is a sister company to Inspire to Change, which is Mental Health in the Workplace, and they are doing just that. They're going in, presenting about mental health first aid, teaching people to spot the signs and symptoms and what to do about it. So there will be some more education coming there.
Because as a business owner, we could come to you and say,
"Wouldn't that be amazing?
You know, what I really want is a motivated workforce."
Yeah.
But I appreciate that, you know, a lot of stuff that they do outside of work impacts directly on their performance at work.
Totally.
And I guess you could work to create a program around that, couldn't you?
That would be really nice to do. I've been into Gillingham to the football club and done that in a small way with some of the junior players, which has been really encouraging to see that they're taking that seriously. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to see that rolled out to more schools, to more businesses, to try and be proactive.
Well, I'd like to see you create a program, package that. And we would certainly help you talk about that.
I would love to do that. I think that's a really big thing, to help keep people proactively, preventatively healthy.
Yeah.
So you don't have to spend money on fixing them when they're broken afterwards.
And they'll see the advantages outside of work, obviously, as well, because it will inevitably have a positive impact on everything they do, you know, as a family unit or whatever. So.
Prevention's better than cure, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Even the NHS is starting to see that. There's a big push in Scotland. They've got a bigger mental health push than we have, and they're putting more resources into schools before it goes bad.
Good. And what about KCC? Are there any initiatives going on there that you're aware
not
of?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Right, okay.
Not
well,
that
I'll,
aware of.
I'll keep my ear to the ground there.
But if anyone that is business-wise is listening, look out for Mental Health in the Workplace. They've got a great website, good Facebook page, and they will be the people to come in and chat to you about mental health first aid as a first off.
Well, we are running out of time, but we haven't run out of time, which is great, because people haven't heard how they can get in touch with you yet.
Okay, so you can go to the inspiredtochange.biz website, where you'll find all of us, all my purple colleagues.
So how does that work? Is that are you part of a franchise or
it's a collective. It's a collective of associate hypnotherapists all over the country.
Right.
So we're very lucky. You're spoilt. You have three in Kent. You have me in Maidstone East. You have Ali Hollands in Maidstone. You have Richard Jones over in Canterbury.
Right.
And then spreading further afield, we have therapists in Bristol. We have them down in Devon. We have them in Thetford. We have them in Peterborough. We're all over the place.
So it's like an umbrella organisation that you will...
So if you come and see any one of us, we all operate in exactly the same way.
So you adhere to certain standards and ethics?
Absolutely.
And
we are the leading provider of solution-focused hypnotherapy. Okay. And though I say it myself, we are the best at it. Really good.
In all the years I've known Ali Hollands, I've always thought she was a collective all on her own, actually. So it's nice to...
But, you know, although we're not quite geographically everywhere, we all do online sessions, so you can always access one of us.
Oh, you can do it online
as
well?
Yeah, we do it online too.
Oh, right.
In the comfort of your own home.
Yeah. I know, you can just stay in your slippers.
Stay in your slippers and I haven't got to come and jump on your couch.
No.
Now, you're also on social media, because I know you're on LinkedIn.
Yes, I'm on LinkedIn as Claire Noyelle. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook as Inspire to Change Maidstone East and also in Kings Hill. I'm on Instagram as Inspire to Change _Claire and just starting to get into Twitter.
Perfect.
So, you can have it everywhere.
Good. And we can even bump into you face-to-face at one of Brian's networking meetings at
BBM Maidstone.
So in 2 weeks' time.
She's obviously got her head sorted out. She's got 100% record as Mr. Meeting since launch in January.
No problems with motivation there.
No.
And reliability.
Do you know how early that is? That's a big ask.
Yeah.
Good. Right. So we are going to draw the show to a close now. We are going to play out with a very tenuous
piece of linkage
song, which again people of a certain generation won't even know what it is, but we will be back in 2 weeks' time, so we'd like to wish everybody a superb Easter holiday.
Yes, definitely. And relax,
don't do it,
recharge, REM sleep, all of that kind of stuff. Serotonin and melatonin, we never got onto that, did we? We should have done. Next time we'll do that. So have a great Easter, everybody, from Brian and myself and the lovely Claire, who's been our guest today.
It's been lovely talking to everyone.
And we will welcome you back on the show in 2 weeks' time with our
2 weeks' time, 29th of April, our new format. I've no idea who the guests are because it's your turn, so you'll have both.
Yeah.
I've already got mine sorted out for the following on the 13th.
Good. So I believe we've got Terry Seller and Brian Downton fresh from his Iron Man in Greece. So that'll be an interesting show. Now you certainly need some motivation to do one of those.
So we've got the Dartford contingent coming all the way down. They'll get lost.
Yeah. So we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. But in the meantime, we're just going to play you out with some another tunage. So thanks for listening. And see you soon.
Bye for now.
And for me, bye-bye.
All the leaves are brown.
Channel 2 Talk Radio.